This morning, we have a guest joining us by phone on our program. Lori Vicker is with us this morning. Lori is going to be making a presentation at the Atlantic Public Library coming up on Thursday at 1 o'clock. It's entitled Remembering the Orphans. Lori, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your time here this morning. This is going to be a presentation about the orphan train movement that was so big in kind of changing the population dynamics in some ways here in the United States.
Yes. A piece of history that has never been recorded in our history books, but it affected many, many people.
Absolutely. How did you get involved in this in the first place? What sparked your interest?
I began my interest with this whole topic when I was a children's and adolescent literature teacher for Viterbo University, which is out of La Crosse, Wisconsin, and they have a satellite campus in West Des Moines. And I also taught school reading during the day, my day job. And one day I asked my fifth graders what they were reading for their independent reading. And they responded with, well, my classroom teacher is reading aloud to us a book called A Family Apart. The author was Lois Lowry Nixon. So I asked them to please tell me a little bit about the book. I said, I know this author, but tell me more about what the book is about. And, of course, these were fifth grade students, and they casually answered, there were all these children, these homeless kids out in New York City, and some guy got the idea that, you know, they were crowding the streets and they were a problem. So he decided to put them on a train and send them out west.
And the story from there, it's very personal in some ways too. It's family history. What kind of feedback do you get when you give these types of presentations from folks?
Well, first of all, many people have never heard about it, and they're just amazed and surprised that, you know, that this was such a phenomenon that happened without their knowledge. Or if they did have any information, it was because they had a descendant or a ancestor who was somehow connected to the orphan train. The orphan train riders themselves were very closed-mouthed about it. They did not like to talk about their experience. It was negative for them. So there was a stigma attached because, first of all, obviously, they were an orphan that were on the street. They'd either been abandoned to an orphanage or they were picked up by the police because these children had to beg, borrow, and thief, you know, to survive. And that's another reason that we don't know much about it. The reason it is so popular today, I think, is because there are so many people interested in their genealogy. And when they have found out the fact that, you know, their grandfather or their great-grandfather was an orphan train rider, it's like, what was that all about? And, you know, and again with, you know, the genealogy and wanting to know what our DNA is all about, that's kind of has played into it. I feel that that's one of the reasons we've gotten so much interest.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Are you running into, when you do some of these presentations, some people who maybe came upon this in the family tree?
Oh, yes, yes. This has been just fascinating for me. Let me back up and just tell you that I then, later on, met an orphan train descendant. Her name was Mary McLean, and she was adamant about getting this word out to people. So she would talk to anybody that would listen. She went to libraries and banks and civic groups. So I invited her to come to my children's literature class to talk about it. And my passion for this topic came from Mary. And now, as to answer your question, yes, I have met lots of orphan train descendants throughout my travels. I've traveled all over the state of Iowa. I recently did a talk in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. Over 200 people came. Many of them afterwards will come up to me, and they want to tell me their story and how they are connected to the orphan train. So You know, it's just been a real adventure for me to go around the state, and a real honor for me to be able to continue this legacy of the Orphan Train and to honor the gentleman who, Reverend Charles Loring Brace, who started the Children's Aid Society. So in my talk, I give a lot of reasons why there were so many orphans, and then I talk a little bit about Reverend Brace, and there was another heroine in this story, Sister Irene Fitzgibbon, who her goal was to save the babies because there were tons and tons of babies being abandoned in New York City due to the fact that there was, you know, no abortion or birth control. So it's really, which is still known as Catholic Charities today, and so that society is still in enactment today.
Well, like everything else in our history, it's not just one isolated event. It branches out and creates other events over time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that out.
It lasted 75 years, this movement, and over 250,000 children were placed out to the Midwest. Most of them came to the Midwest, but there are known orphan riders that went to every state in the nation.
When you talk to some of these folks who have found that they have relatives who were involved in that movement, are they finding that it kind of stunts the family tree, the genealogy, or are they able to find more information from there?
That's a very good question. There is a national research for the Orphan Train Complex in Concordia, Kansas, and that's, anybody can go there. There's two buildings. One is like the research center, and then the other is a refurbished train station along with all the artifacts. But people who have questions can either go online and make connections, or if they have any idea that they were connected with the Foundling Hospital in New York City, they have amazing records still in New York. And even my neighbor, who lives in Spirit Lake, where I'm from, has gone back. She's 85 years old. She didn't know that her father was an orphan rider. He never wanted to talk about it. And it wasn't until after he died that her mother said, "I have something to tell you." And so my neighbor and her siblings made a trip out back to New York City and were able to locate her father's information, which, as you can imagine, was just a missing piece that was a big thrill for them.
Absolutely invaluable information there, too, to understand mm-hmm. how you are and how you got to where you are. This is a movement that went on quite a long time ago, mid-1800s to the nearly 1930. So it's been a long time ago now for us, and there are still some things out there. I've been told that you might have some artifacts, some items to bring with as well.
Oh, yes. I have a very nice display. You know, the teacher in me comes out, and I have visuals for everyone to look at. So I have some vintage children's clothing that they might have worn on the train, as well as some vintage suitcases. Every child was issued a suitcase and three sets of clothing, one dress-up and two every day. And about a half an hour before they arrived at their designated stop, they would change into their good clothes so that they would look more appealing. And they were coached, of course, to smile and, you know, to act bright type of thing. And so I have a nice display of that, as well as a former teacher in children's and adolescent literature. I also have a whole table full of books. And everybody who comes to my presentation gets a one-page bibliography of both fiction and nonfiction.
Very good.
If they're interested in reading further, I have some suggested titles for them to read.
Good. Nice to have some take-home items there, too. Think about it for a minute. I mean, these are young children, and not only did we make them start out on their life's path earlier than most of us ever do, we also turned them into salespeople right away. They had to go out and sell themselves.
Well, and some of them didn't do such a good job. They were tearful and, but they knew, they had probably mixed feelings. Some of them still had memories of their biological mother or father that brought them to the orphanage, you know, and that seemed cruel, but yet that was done out of love for them. And the older children probably had, like, afraid that they would never, ever be able to make connections again with their real mother or father, because they never gave up hope that their father or mother might come back for them someday.
Sure.
Whereas the younger children had no memories of that at all. So for them, it was quite an adventure to come out west. You know, they had never seen livestock, cows, and, you know, out in the country to see the open range. And so it was, exciting for them as well.
Interesting. Some prospered, some, well, probably struggled a little bit, like a lot of folks do in different situations, but all of them were part of that history, and we'll learn a little bit more about that coming up again this Thursday at 1 o'clock at the Atlantic Public Library. Remembering the Orphans is the name of the presentation. Lori Vicker will be there to share with you. Lori, thank you so much for your time here today. Appreciate the visit.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, you bet.
I look forward to meeting the patrons in Atlantic.